The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A lot going on. I want to get into the Supreme Court stuff with you, and we're also going to talk about everything that happened regarding the interview with Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, because there's a lot said around that. I just, you know, the whole Jeffrey Epstein killed himself thing and didn't kill himself. I tell you how I think about everything in life, and I never lie to you and I never distract you. I think these guys are completely full of it. I think there's no friggin' way Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. There's just no friggin' way that happened. I'm sorry. And, you know, it can tell us all they want. They can tell us, but I will never believe it because my gut tells me that it's a Fugazi, and my gut is always right. My Fugazi radar, my ability to know what a Fugazi is better than anybody in the business, I would argue, my Fugazi ability. So I'm calling Fugazi on that. Whether or not Kash Patel was always, you know, just playing an act, or whether or not Kash Patel has to keep it a secret because Jeffrey Epstein was a national security asset and there's a link to Israel and whatever. Whatever it is, it's a bunch of BS. You know it. I know it. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we're all idiots and we're all going to just believe this. You know what I mean? So. But here's the definitive answer that Kash Patel has said regarding Jeffrey Epstein, that he did kill himself. Well, actually, you know what? Let's do this. This is him saying he's going to release every piece of information the government has on Epstein. But it's going to take some time. Cut number 10.
The Epstein files. What's the answer to that?
The answer to that is the same as everything else. I'm not going to withhold information from the American public ever. But I'm also not going to rush to get it out there in a format in which they can't rely on it. So on the Epstein matter or any other matters, we are diligently working on that. And it takes time.
It takes time. Okay. It takes time. Here's FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino. We're saying that there's video evidence that exists to show Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Cut 15.
Those two cases obviously are of significant public interest. I'm just telling you what we see in the file. I just want to be crystal clear on this. I am not asking anyone to believe me. I'm telling you what's there and what isn't.
Right.
There is nothing in the file at this point on the Epstein case. And there's going to be a disclosure on this coming shortly. We are working through some. There is video. That is something the public does.
There's video of him killing himself.
No, not the actual act, but the entire MCC Bay, it was only one camera. There's video that when you look at the video, and we will release, that's what's taken a while on this, we are working on cleaning it up to make sure you have an enhanced, right. And we're going to give the original so you don't think there were any shenanigans. You're going to see there's no one there but him.
Right.
There's just nobody there. So I say to people all the time, if you have a tip, let us know. But there's no DNA, there's no audio, there's no fingerprints, there's no suspects, there's no accomplices, there's no tips, there is nothing. If you have it, I'm happy to see it. There's video clear as day. He's the only person in there and the only person coming out. You can see it. So
right. Okay. He's the only one going in and he's the only one coming out. And the cameras just happen to go down and, you know, Matt, I sent you a text. Take a quick look at it when you get a chance. And that's just the way it is. He's the only one there, and that's it. All right? Okay. Okay, Dan. Got it. Gotcha. Okay, cut number 10. All right. This is when Brett Baer asked Kash Patel about the situation with Jeffrey Epstein, and this is what he said. No, but I played that one, Matt. It's not in there. Cut 10.
Oh, it isn't? Maybe.
No, we just played that.
Hang on. Let me find it. I could have sworn I had it.
Okay. Kash Patel did say that there is a definitive answer coming regarding the FBI's involvement in January 6th. Good. That I want to hear. Definitely want to hear that. No doubt about that. Cut number 12.
More importantly, people have had questions about January 6th and whether or not there were FBI sources, not agents, sources on the ground during January 6th. And I told you I would get you the definitive answer to that. And we have. And we are in the process, again, of working with our partners to divulge that information. And it is coming. And I will tell you this. The answer to that question will surprise and shock people because of what past FBI leaders have said about it.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray eventually admitted to Congress there were 26 FBI confidential human sources in around the Capitol mm-hmm. January 6th, but not actual agents. Can you say that's true? Are there more than that? What you're learning from that?
I can say that that is definitely a piece of the truth. Why it took a ton of time for and questioning in Congress for the director to get that point is what I'm trying to eliminate from the FBI. If Congress asks you a question under oath, whether or not there were sources in around January 6th at the Capitol, you as the director of the FBI need to know that and not deflect and give a DC answer. You have to be prepared for that. And that's the answer we're giving. That's the answer Chris Wray should have given.
And eventually everybody's going to know the whole picture.
Yeah, because the American people deserve that. And look, no one's more frustrated than me. Remember, I was chief of staff of the Department of Defense on January 6th. We said that we were ready, and the president had previously authorized the National Guard to be there days in advance. I spent 2 years, a small fortune, grand juries, to testify to the truth. And what happens now, years later? We were right. Bowser and Pelosi rejected that offer. And instead of figuring out how to prevent security lapses like that ever again, the American public spent tens of millions of dollars and countless hours on TV listening to conspiracy theories because those in positions of leadership failed to tell the American public the truth.
Well, you know, I what can I tell you? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? How long is this taking? Everybody's losing patience. Everybody's losing patience with this. And it's just, we're getting to the point now where people are losing faith here. Here's another clip of Kash Patel. Take a listen to what he said to Brett Baer. Can you play that one?
Yeah, he's there was an issue with the computer. Fine.
There are. Okay. The Epstein thing, you dealt with Maria. You said, as far as you know, he killed himself.
I'm telling you, he killed himself.
The other thing on the internet is the Epstein files. What's the answer to that?
The answer to that is the same as everything else. I'm not going to withhold information from the American public ever. But I'm also not going to rush to get it out there in a format in which they can't rely on it. So on the Epstein matter or any other matters, we are diligently working on that. And it takes time to go through years of investigations, years of political maneuvering, and years of cover-up to get the American people what they deserve. And that's what I'm going to give them on everything.
Yeah.
There are.
The Epstein.
Well, we'll hopefully get it. We'll hopefully get it. But I, you know, again, we're losing patience. But Matt, that's not the one. They did play it this morning. If you can, do you have access? Can you check that folder?
Yeah, I'll see if they have one.
Okay, great. The other issue too that was said by Bongino, which I mean, again, look, I'm not really trying to knock these guys. I know everybody's losing patience, and I think part of the goal here is that the more time that goes on, the more we turn around and go, it's no big deal, there's bigger fish to fry, we all move on with our lives. I just think for me, with this whole thing with Jeffrey Epstein, it proves that he was an intelligent asset. It proves that he was a guy who clearly was involved in national security because there's no other explanation for why they're taking so long here, and I don't believe it's to protect any of the people that were on Epstein Island. I don't buy that. I think it was because we used him. He was an asset. He was a source. And I think there's probably countries involved, and we'll never know the truth on that, and that's just the way it's going to be. So, you know, just deal with that and accept it, but then stop talking about it. And I'd rather them just tell us that we'll never know the truth, but I guess they can't say that either. I don't know. Patel ripped James Comey apart and blamed him for copycat threats against the president's life. Cut 11.
James Comey.
If he wants to come after me, no problem. I've been living rent-free in that guy's head for years, and that's just a bonus. Do you know how many copycats we've had to investigate as a result of that beachside venture from the former director?
Is that right?
Do you know how many agents I've had to take offline from chasing down child sex predators, fentanyl traffickers, terrorists, because everywhere across this country, people are popping up on social media and think that a threat to the life of the president of the United States is a joke and they can do it because he did it? That's what I'm having to deal with every single day. And that's what I'm having to pull my agents and analysts off, because he thought it was funny to go out there and make a political statement.
The 86.
It's like on the YouTube chat, Richard Heinzman says, I'm more interested in Crossfire Hurricane and January 6th and Epstein. See, I'm not, because I think, and I've always thought Epstein was part of, he was an intelligence guy, meaning that he was part of the deep state. That's when the FBI went to his apartment in New York and they had a warrant, but then they open up the safe. They see all these pictures and videos and discs, and they say, we don't have a warrant to search the safe. They don't call it a judge and they just leave. And then 4 days later, they come back with a warrant and all the stuff's gone. It's stuff like that that makes me say, this is ridiculous. It's not a matter of, in my opinion, finding out the rich and powerful people that were at Epstein Island. I believe our government was using this guy to put people in very compromising positions for the purposes of national security. And I feel like we deserve the truth. It matters to me. It's like it matters to me about January 6th. We know that there were government agents there. We know that there were people there on the ground. Have we heard about Ray Epps? Remember him? The guy who was yelling, tomorrow we go in the Capitol, we go in the Capitol. You know, President Trump was asked yesterday about whether or not he would consider pardoning the guys in the Michigan kidnapping plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And he said he's thinking about it because, you know, he goes, you have these guys, they were drinking too much, they were saying stupid things, but they never did anything. And, you know, it's stuff like that that I want the truth to come out. I don't like when the government has secrets against me. And the same thing goes for, to Richard's point about Crossfire Hurricane. But it's all related. I mean, it's all about people in government who have power and use that power and exercise that power against the American people in many cases. And then they are never held accountable for it. And they keep doing it and they keep going forward and doing these things. And either we're government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or we're not. And at this point now, I think we can all safely say we're clearly not, because there's people that are just more powerful than a president, an FBI director, a CIA director, whoever else. And these people that are in charge, the minute that our side gets in there, these things have a funny way of just disappearing, whether it's COVID, whether it's Epstein, whether it's January the 6th, whether it's Crossfire Hurricane, whatever it is. And I read about this stuff in the Jack Carr books, and Jack Carr talks about this all the time. And Jack Carr always says there's this cabal of people that run everything, and this cabal of people that make all these decisions. And you want to believe it's the stuff of conspiracy and fantasy and fiction, but is it really? Is it really? So, you know. So in my opinion, I don't. And I think that's part of the goal. Part of the goal here is, as time goes on, we care less and less because we go, there's more important things we got to focus on. But why can't we focus on multiple things at one time? I think that's another thing people in power do to try to get us to shut up, is they throw like, well, there's bigger, there's more important issues. It's like, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm capable of multitasking. You guys aren't. Like, I get it. There's drug dealers, there's cartels, there's child kidnappers, and there's pedophiles, and there. But you're not the only guy that works there. Like, we didn't make you FBI director, we didn't make you deputy director, and then fire everybody else. Like, there's literally thousands of people that work for you. So when people come back to me and they go, we got more important things to do, we got to go after fentanyl, and I'm like, yeah, but there's still people who can do that. There's still plenty of people who can handle that. It's like the Secret Service. It's the same thing about getting the truth about Butler, getting to the bottom of that. It's like, well, now we got to focus on protecting Trump now. Yeah, I agree. But what do you do when the people that are protecting Trump now have the day off? Is Trump not protected? No, of course not. You have other people doing that job that day. So I never buy that, and Richard, this is no knock on you. You know I love you. I'm just saying. In my mind, I think that part of the game, so in all the years of talk radio I've been doing this, I've had that said to me probably more than anything else, I think, in my whole career. Well, I've had also, you're so handsome, why are you not on television? And that's very kind of you. And, you know, now I'm doing more of that, which is nice. But people have also said many, many times, there's more important things to focus on than blank. But what does that mean, though? Focus on by who? Who focuses? Like me? Like there's more important things I should be talking about? Are there more important things than the fact that we have a shadow government that runs this country that even the people in power can't seem to rein in? Are there really more important things than that? Because I don't know. It seems pretty important to me. And certainly it was the case with the last president. That's absolutely what we have. So anyway, yeah, that's the one. Patel doubles down on Epstein's death. That's exactly the one. Let's play that one. Matt, take this is him with Brett Baer.
Leaders have said about it.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray eventually admitted to Congress there were 26 FBI confidential human sources in around the Capitol mm-hmm. January 6th, but not actual agents. Can you say that's true? Are there more than that? What you're learning from that?
I can say that is definitely a piece of the truth. Why it took a ton of time for and questioning in Congress for the director to get that point is what I'm trying to eliminate from the FBI. If Congress asks you a question under oath, whether or not there were sources in around January 6th at the Capitol, you as the director of the FBI need to know that and not deflect and give a DC answer. You have to be prepared for that. And that's the answer we're giving. That's the answer Chris Wray should have given.
And eventually everybody's going to know the whole picture.
Yeah, because the American people deserve that. And look, no one's more frustrated than me. Remember, I was chief of staff of the Department of Defense on January 6th. We said that we were ready, and the president had previously authorized the National Guard to be there days in advance. I spent 2 years, a small fortune, grand juries, to testify to the truth. And what happens now, years later? We were right. Bowser and Pelosi rejected that offer. And instead of figuring out how to prevent security lapses like that ever again, the American public spent tens of millions of dollars and countless hours on TV listening to conspiracy theories because those in positions of leadership failed to tell the American public the truth.
But there is a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
There are.
The Epstein thing, you dealt with Maria, you said, as far as you know, he killed himself.
I'm telling you, he killed himself.
The other thing on the internet is the Epstein files.
I'm telling you, he killed himself. And then Brett Baer just moves on. I'm telling you, he killed himself. See what I mean? I'm telling you, he killed himself. All right, we'll just move on. The question of getting to the truth about all these things, because the American people deserve the truth. Absolutely. I agree. It's May 29th. We're almost to summer here, which reminds me, by the way, we're going to be in Cape May. I'm told they only have a few rooms left for our broadcast on June 20th. So if you have not made your plans yet, you better do it. Do it now. But look, if we don't do this now, I don't mean just Cape May, but you should do that now because they're almost sold out for June 20th. For our first official live show this summer. But what I'm saying to you is this. If we, at this moment, with Donald Trump in the White House, and Tulsi Gabbard at DNI, and Kash Patel at the FBI, and Dan Bongino there, if we don't get to the bottom of all this crap now, we will never, ever get to the bottom of it. Mark my words, write that down, and put it in a freaking time capsule, and then dig it up in 20 years, and you'll see I was exactly right about that. We get one shot at this. This is the shot. This is why it matters so much. And we're almost so accustomed and trained to this idea of, well, these things take time. We got to figure it out, and blah, 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 blah. And the whole time that's happening, all I keep wondering is, who is destroying the things that would tell the truth about something? And I guess the cynical part of me at this point says there probably is nothing left of any of this stuff because that's how it works. But what I think we were all excited about, just speaking from my perspective, was Trump gets in there, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Tulsi Gabbard, all these people are in there. And it's like, well, now the deep state, we're finally going to expose these people. Now there's nothing to stop us and nothing to stop them from hiding, and yet they're still hiding. And then you have to just ask yourself the next obvious logical question, which you may not want to do. This is an uncomfortable question to ask, which is why. How have these people managed to become so powerful? How has this Leviathan, this federal Leviathan, as the great one Mark Levin calls it, how have they managed to assume so much power over all of us that we can be 6 months into an administration and still be told, you're going to get all the facts, but we got to go through it and we got to make sure that the video, we got to enhance the video. And I mean, no offense, Bongino, but a guy who worked at freaking Dan Valdez, why did we get Valdez to do it? DeSantis, can you reach out to Valdez and see if he can do it?
I can ask him, yeah.
That's what he does. He's a video guy. I mean, how hard is it to freaking enhance a video is my question. They do that all the time. Who's that that company, that memory company? You send them your VHS tapes. You know, Legacy Box. Remember them? I think they're still around, right? You know, Matt, you know you've heard those ads, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long does it take to them to take a video and then clean it up? You could do that in like, what, 10 minutes?
I can't imagine. It's super time consuming.
I mean, Justin, you're a young guy. You're a millennial, Gen Z, whatever the hell you people call yourselves.
Yeah.
How long does it take to take a video and enhance it?
It depends on the state of the video, but it shouldn't take more than, like, for a really bad video, a couple hours at most. Especially
what kind of cameras? I mean, Justin, what kind of cameras were they using in Epstein's cell? Were they using like an old school like Polaroid with somebody literally taking like Polaroid pictures of his jail cell?
No, they were using like high quality, high definition webcam, like kind of like the, I would say, on par with the webcams that we have here in our studio at the Odyssey Studio. So I don't see how it would take this long to do anything. It shouldn't.
Legacy Box takes 10 days if you pay for guaranteed rush processing. All right, I got an idea. How about we pitch in, we buy Bongino a Legacy Box gift, and he can throw the Epstein videos in there and then send them to Legacy Box, and they can enhance them and do all that stuff for us. And then also they send back the originals for you. What if we do that? Does that sound good to everybody?
I don't know. It costs $338, so... How much are you chipping in?
I feel like the government has the money for this. Or maybe not. Maybe because of the reconciliation bill, they don't. Maybe that's it. Maybe Bongino should fall back on that and be like, do you have any idea what this costs? We're talking like three bills here, all right? Even with the discount Bongino, which you put in at checkout, it's still three bills. I don't know if his name still works at checkout, but I'm just saying, you know. Get 10% off and free shipping.
Oh, I have good news. If you pay the $338, it covers you for $8. Items in total. So technically you could resolve seven other mysteries as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we send the Zapruder film while we're at it? We'll send the January 6th tapes. We'll send the tapes of the people with the pipe bombs on January 6th. We'll send in the Epstein thing. We'll send what else? What else do you want to send in? And just put it all in the Legacy Box. Let them do it.
Send the Bigfoot film. Send the Bigfoot film. We'll figure out if Bigfoot's real while we're at it.
Why not? I mean, the Bigfoot film, in my opinion, is not nearly as high def as the Epstein film is, but you know, I mean,
we've got eight slots. Might as well.
I say you throw it in for good luck, for good measure. Why not throw it all in? And then imagine the guy at Legacy Box who opens that up and goes, "What the hell's in here?" Supposed to be home. It's supposed to be fun home movies. I don't know. These are fun home movies. Believe me, you're gonna love these. This is gonna be fun. Oh, so dumb. All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile with two locations to serve you. In Sinem Incident, Woodbury, Dr. Mike is the man, 856-786-2020. Coming up, the president reacts to the Supreme Court saying his tariffs are unconstitutional. Don't go away. Will Kane stealing our favorite guest, Susan Crabtree. One of our favorite guests, Susan Crabtree. Good for her. She's on Fox News right now talking to Will Kane about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. So the comments are mixed on this, by the way. And, you know, I guess the first thing I'll say to Road Warriors, you're not in jail, Road Warrior. Don't worry. You're not in jail. I'm getting people who say who cares about Epstein and other people who say that this is ridiculous, that this is taking so long and we're getting crumbs, and we're getting crumbs in all these things. So people appear to be split. I will say it one more time and I'll say it again. I think you're missing the point about Epstein, and that he was a national security asset and that our government used him to blackmail people and heads of state. And that's why we all have to go along with this lie. And, you know, it's fine. Look, I mean, if you don't care and you're fine with that and you want to move on with that, that's fine. I'm not. So we can agree to disagree. But yelling at me like Navy Prepper, who cares about Epstein? I care. That's why I'm talking about it, because I only talk about things I care about. That's what I do. I talk about things I care about for a reason, because I'm usually right about the things that I talk about. Even when people tell me, who cares? I'm usually right. Just like when I was saying last year that Joe Biden would not be the candidate, people were like, who cares? He said he's staying in the race. Who cares? He said he's staying in the race. Well, he didn't stay in the race. And just like in 2016, when I was telling you back in 2016 that the Republican establishment was undermining Trump and that he was making mistakes with people he was appointing, people were like, well, who cares? He trusts him. He appointed him. He trusts him. Who cares? Move on. And they clearly were undermining him, people like Bill Barr and others. So I have a pretty good knack for this stuff. But again, if you don't care, and that's fine. You don't have to. We can agree to disagree. But, you know, I'm not going to just move on that easily from these things, nor am I going to move on from the, like, the whole thing about Biden and hiding his cognitive decline, because these are serious constitutional questions that we have to talk about. And we have to, again, we can't just look back and go, well, we got bigger things to think about now. Again, I'll ask the question, who has bigger things to think about? Who? There are plenty of people out there who can do this stuff. There are plenty of congressional staffers and researchers who can begin the process of grilling the people who were in Biden's cabinet and the former vice president's office staff members about what they knew about Biden's cognitive state and prepare a report for Congress regarding a cover-up of the president of the United States being senile. Like, there's plenty of people that work there. There's plenty of people that work at the FBI. There's probably too many people, to be honest with you, that work in government. There's more than enough, I promise you, who can handle all these things. And then so the other thing people say is they go, well, we got other important issues to focus on. But like, we can focus on like 50 things at one time. I mean, you realize we're talking about a one big beautiful bill that focuses on like 9 million things, right? Like, that bill is so big and bloated that it's got literally 9 million things in it. So I'm just saying, by the way, that thing is a mess. It's a total mess. The listening to like Ron Johnson talk about it and just how bad this thing is with the nonsense they put in there, and Doge, and how all these Republicans were like, yay, Doge. And then they said, we'll vote on it. And they were like, yeah, Doge. Great. Expose it. Then they said, all right, vote to cut it. And they were like, well, you know, how many Republicans came out and said, we got to cut NPR. We got to cut PBS. All right. Cut it. You got a president who will sign it into law. They're like, well, not so fast. I don't get it. I mean, I just it's amazing, right? How many of these people talk a big game? They get in there and then they don't do the things that they say they're going to do. So the one big beautiful bill is a classic example of that. And then people are like, well, Mike Johnson's got a tough job. Yeah, he does. I'll give him that. He's got a tough job. But a lot of people have tough jobs. And that doesn't mean you don't have to do it just because it's really hard. You don't turn around and go, well, it's a tough job, so don't worry about it. But I think it's amazing how many Republicans, at the end of the day, they just talk a great game, get in there, and then completely let us down. Even with the president in the White House, they still let us down. Like, they give the ultimate cover. Donald Trump is the ultimate cover. He's the ultimate shield for these people. He's the ultimate shield to lead them into battle. And they still play the exact same crap they played back when Biden was president. And when Trump was president the first time, and they just pretended like they had no ability to do anything. I mean, it's amazing. So don't get your hopes up that any of the Doge stuff is actually going to be codified into law. I mean, they'll pass the tax cuts. They'll get a bill, but it's beyond the tax cuts and maybe a couple of like regulatory tweaks here and there. Nothing is going to change. I mean, you know that, right? Nothing is going to change in terms of the structure of the government, the power of the executive branch, and all the money that Doge is funding. It's great that Elon Musk has highlighted all this for us. It's wonderful. And I really do want to believe them when they tell me, down the road, we're going to do separate bills that cut this stuff out of Doge. But I got a feeling in a couple months we're going to start hearing things like, well, you know, we're going to get there, but you got to be patient. This stuff takes time. And then we're going to hear, we're almost there. We got the bills ready to go, but we're still dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And then next thing you know, it's midterms. And then next thing you know, the Democrats are back in charge. And then the game continues. And you just got to wonder, how many Republicans are better off being in the minority than in the majority? Did you ever ask yourself that? You ever wonder how many of these Republican House members it's easier for them to be a member of the minority than the majority? So you're a member of a minority. All you have to do is just stand up and give speeches and complain about the people in power. That's it. That's all you got to do. Nobody expects you to do anything. And you could raise money on how you can't do anything because of all the Democrats who are in charge and probably raise more money. So you just have to wonder how many of these swamp creatures that have an R after their name would like secretly hope that the Democrats are back in charge next November so that they can kind of go back to being like, you know, I mean, I can't believe the spending by these people. Can you believe this? Look at this report we just highlighted and all these things. And if we were in charge, we'd cut those things. But we're not in charge, so all we can do is just highlight it for you. They'll pass the tax cuts, though. They'll make those permanent. But beyond that, you know, reality is a stubborn bee. You know what I mean? What can I tell you? President, though, is fighting a full-on war with these district court judges. Let's begin with Caroline Leavitt and the White House press briefing today regarding judicial overreach. She began with this is a longer cut by explaining what the White House is up against and how many times these federal judges have come along and have tried to stop the president, this particular president of the United States of America. Cut number one.
Last night, the Trump administration faced another example of judicial overreach. Using his full and proper legal authority, President Trump imposed universal tariffs and reciprocal tariffs on Liberation Day to address the extraordinary threat to our national security and economy posed by large and persistent annual U.S. goods trade deficits. The United States has run a trade deficit of goods every year since 1975. In 2024, our trade deficit in goods exceeded $1 trillion. Everybody agrees this is unacceptable. President Trump is delivering on his promise to fix this problem, and he has taken a long overdue and much needed bold stance for American workers, after decades of our manufacturing base being hollowed out. The president's rationale for imposing these powerful tariffs was legally sound and grounded in common sense. President Trump correctly believes that America cannot function safely long term if we are unable to scale advanced domestic manufacturing capacity, have our own...
Let me jump in here for a second here, and let me jump in here. I'm going to go over to cut number three. This is what the lower district court judges are doing here. Cut number three.
By this administration to tackle these rogue judges and the injunction.
There is an effort
by the blockades. To tackle these rogue judges and the injunctions and the blockades that we have faced in our broken judicial system in every case. I mean, we have seen time and time again these lower district court judges ruling against this administration in the president's basic executive authority and powers. And this administration is fighting every single one of those battles in court, including already the block that came down from the tariff court, the IEPA court last night. And as on my way out here to the briefing room, I understand that there was another district court judge right here in Washington, D.C., who ruled against the president's tariff power. And I will get to the heart of your question, and I'm glad that we are addressing this in the room today, because nationwide injunctions ordered against the first Trump administration, Trump 1.0, account for more than half of the injunctions issued in this country since 1963. And President Trump had more injunctions in one full month of office in February than Joe Biden had in 3 years.
If Congress is unhappy with the president's power to levy tariffs, and there's a debate on this. I mean, Rand Paul, for example, has a whole point. He believes that the president now is exceeding his tariff authority. If that's the case, then Congress needs to take up the issue, not the courts. OK, that is what Congress needs to do. In other words, there's a mechanism by which Congress can rein in the president's powers on tariffs. And they can say these tariffs exceed the authority we've given you. Congress can do that. Congress has that power. But a judge does not. And this is the difference here. And this is why this is so frustrating, is because when you look at all of what these judges are trying to accomplish, they are trying to, once again, usurp the legislative branch as they try to stop the president of the United States of America and slow him down. And they're just all hoping that they can kick the can down the road and they can just slow it down. Caroline Leavitt talked about Jill Biden and Joe Biden. So like I said at the start of the show, let's cue up cut number 7. Like I said at the start of the show today, it is fine to go after Dr. Jill Biden. And you always have to say that by law, obviously, Dr. Jill. It's fine. Go after all you want. She elder abuse, horrible wife, horrible person, one of the worst. A power hungry, just completely didn't care about her husband's health, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And I agree, 100%. Absolutely. But let's not get distracted by the fact that Dr. Jill Biden had zero power and constitutional authority to do anything about it. She could have been a whistleblower. She could have been a good citizen and brought it to our attention. But she had no legal. The First Lady is not in the Constitution. The First Lady has no power in the Constitution. The First Lady is not even in the 25th Amendment. There's nothing like, well, you know, if the president can't function, the First Lady's got to let us know. It's like, it's not in there. So, yeah, we could talk about Joe Biden. Talk about it all you want. But remember something. Every time you do, you are deflecting from the people that really were, who did have the constitutional power to do something about it. Now you're just focusing on a bad wife. Focus on a bad wife all you want. I don't care. There's a lot of them out there. And she was one of the worst. But she had no power whatsoever to do anything about it. Now, I mean, she had power in the sense of like the proverbial power of, you know, she had powerful people around her and she was the First Lady and she had that kind of power like the Queen of England has. But it's not real power. I'm talking about the actual power under the Constitution of the United States of America, specifically the 25th Amendment, of which she had zero. But that said, horrible person, terrible wife, all in it for herself, no doubt about it. Here's cut number 7.
I think, frankly, the former First Lady should certainly speak up about what she saw in regards to her husband and when she saw it and what she knew. Because I think anybody looking, again, at the videos and photo evidence of Joe Biden with your own eyes and a little bit of common sense can see this was a clear cover-up. And Jill Biden was certainly complicit in that cover-up. There's documentation, video evidence of her clearly shielding her husband away from the cameras. They were just on The View last week. She was saying everything is fine. She's still lying to the American people. She still thinks the American public are so stupid that they're going to believe her lies. And frankly, it's insulting, and she needs to answer for it.
Okay. Gotcha. Look, I love Caroline Leavitt, and I agree with her. And Jill Biden does have to answer for it, but what about the vice president? You know what they should be doing right now? Right now at this moment? They should be preparing articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris as the vice president of the United States of America, who hid the president's senility from the public. And then you could bring Jill Biden in for the trial and you could bring in all these other people as witnesses to test them, and you could force them, you compel them to testify. But they're not going to do that. Do you think they're going to do that? Do you really think this Congress is going to do anything about that? I feel like everything these people do is a friggin' show, don't you think? Hey, it's great. It's a cool show. It's fun. I mean, it's fun to watch. Like, it's fun to watch them haul these people in and ask them questions and sound tough. But they could actually, if they really wanted to, they could draft articles of impeachment right now against Kamala Harris as vice president of the United States of America. It doesn't matter that she's left office. And they could impeach her now for her actions then. And then the Senate could have a trial and they could bring all these people out there and expose her. And not only would you get the joy of ruining Kamala Harris's political career, but you'd force Democrats to make a decision. Are you people going to vote to say this was wrong or not? Are you people going to look the American people in the eye and say this was wrong or not? Why not? They did it to Trump after January 6th. They impeached him, and then they had a trial, and all these people turned around and they said, well, he's out of office, so I'm not going to vote to impeach him. Well, then fine. Then use that argument and say you won't vote to convict Kamala Harris. But then remember, after you go through a trial and you have all these people on the Senate witness stand going through how they hid Joe Biden's cognitive decline, one of those people being Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, the American people can hear it on the record for themselves. And if they vote to acquit Kamala Harris as vice president for failing to uphold her obligation under the 25th Amendment, then so be it. But the you need a supermajority of senators. You're not that far off with the 54 Republicans you have. So you're telling me you can't convince a couple Democrats that they want to be the ones to say to the American people that this was wrong, what they did, and this can never happen again? Because they're all running out and saying that they knew Joe Biden was senile and had dementia. So are they just okay then with that, what occurred? And then will the American people be okay with what occurred if they vote no and say Kamala Harris bears no responsibility for this as the vice president of the United States? It doesn't matter, though. They'll never do it, so it's stupid to even waste our time talking about it. It's just a little fantasy I have in my head. All right, listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over there, they would love to take care of your home. And a 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. How does that sound? 10% off. 10% off windows, Anderson window replacements, siding, doors, you name it. Emmons does it. And they are your go-to contractor. We've used them over 10 years in two different houses. They remodeled the bathroom in our old house. They remodeled the kitchen in our old house. And then Emmons put on a beautiful roof with a lifetime warranty on it. Hey, if you have a Shure house, how's that roof doing? Because if you remember something, you got to get that roof inspected. The summers are brutal. So are the winters, obviously, on that roof. Well, Emmons will give you the lifetime warranty with the best of the business, Owens Corning Shingle. So just reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to your customer satisfaction. Really, Emmons is the best. 10% off. How can you beat it? The finest quality products from Anderson Windows to the Owens Corning Shingles, CertainTeed Siding. It's right there for you. emmonsroofing.com. I'm going to Israel, by the way. So, did I tell you that? Going to Israel.
News to me. When's this occurring?
I didn't tell you this?
No.
You made like a short mention of it, but you didn't give us any like details about it.
Oh. Well, that's a tease that I should probably talk about on the other side of the break. What do you think?
I like that.
I just got the confirmation that I'm officially going to Israel. So, and I'll explain all about it on the other side of the break. That sounds fun. And who do we have? We got Dr. E.J. Antoni joining us.
We do, and he just got a big promotion at Heritage.
It's a big deal now. He's a big swinging you-know-what over there at Heritage.
I don't think that's his official title, no. He is the chief economist at Heritage.
He's a big swinging you-know-what over there at the...
Not his official title. Can't stress that enough.
We're going to put that on his Twitter bio. All right, we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.